David Dill represents District 3A, which includes the Arrowhead. He's also been named the chair of the House Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How you doing?
Pretty good. So, committee chairmanship. Okay, House Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee. So what's on the top of that committee's agenda?
Well, we haven't really decided yet because we're just getting organized. I haven't decided. The caucus hasn't decided, and I haven't heard from any members specifically what bills that they're portraying to put in this year. That committee handles the Department of Natural Resources, Board of Soil and Water Conservation, MPCA, and some other smaller policy-type things in the state. With regards to the outdoors, hunting, fishing, environment, just all those types of things that surround the word environment.
Well, now, I was kind of wondering about, there's a number of controversial issues out there regarding the environment and natural resources, and they probably would be viewed differently across what is now your very large district, not to mention the state. But do you anticipate the committee dealing with things like non-ferrous mining, mineral rights, state-federal land swaps, wolf hunt, any of that kind of thing, or is this somebody else's job?
No, those are the things that we may or may not, you know, consider bills that may be for or against. Mm-hmm. And those are all, you know, the wolf hunt is now authorized.
Right.
And I'd anticipate that there may be a bill coming forward that maybe stops the wolf hunt. We'll see. I don't think that will prevail. There could be bills that, as there's always been talked about, to ban non-ferrous mining before it can even begin. There might be. I don't anticipate that there are going to be bills that are successful in the non-ferrous mining area that would. I use this word carefully, speed up the process. Mm-hmm. I mean, the process is the process, and it's in play, and I'm sure there are some people that will want to get it speeded up, but the point is that one of the reasons it takes so long is because these are very important deliberations that have to be made with regard to their plans, any plans that are presented to the Department of Natural Resources in this instance. And then there's also the comments from the public and how the company may or may not change their plans based on that, mm-hmm. those comments or scientific data that's learned or increases in technology between the time that they submit their plans and the time that they actually would try to begin to mine.
Now, the Citizens Board for the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency tomorrow is going to hear an update specifically about sulfates in the water on that 10-milligram thing about wild rice. I imagine you'll be paying attention to that.
Oh, yeah. That was a big focus the last 2 years in the legislature. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was the legislature that put in place the laws and the authorizations and the appropriations that had to do with the study that is ongoing and what the EQB board is going to be updated on. And we will be taking testimony, I'm certain, in our committee, mm-hmm. And getting updated on where we're at as far as the process is concerned in reestablishing and evaluating a new limit. And no one knows whether the limit will be higher, lower, or the same.
Yeah, it's kind of old news. 1940 survey is when it was first, you know, that's the material it's based on. But help me understand, and our listeners understand, you know, not knowing as much about the legislature perhaps as I should, I realize that when the majority party gets to pick its chair people, but does the committee that you're going to chair pretty much stay the same, or is there a big changeover?
You mean in terms of its
personnel,
committee's membership?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there'll be people that will be on the committee that have been on the committee for quite some time, and there'll be new members that are freshman members of the legislature. There'll be new members. And it'll be mixed up. It won't be the same people every time. That in the past, but there are some people that have institutional knowledge and would certainly want to be on there. And those are committees. What happens is you send in to, when at the appropriate time, you send in to the Speaker of the House the top three or four committees that you want to participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at all the requests and who is where, and geographically, how is the committee balanced, and politically, how is the committee balanced, and then they make their decisions and appointments.
How big a committee is it?
In terms of numbers, I'd expect there to be over 20 or so people.
Okay. Is that fairly common for committees? You've been on a lot of committees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's that's very common, that number or more.
Good. Well, getting away from that particular committee, the House Environment and Natural Resources Policy Committee, in general, what do you see as the biggest issues facing the House that you're going to have to tackle this coming session?
I think that the number one issue that we have to tackle, and we have to have an honest conversation, that is a conversation that's had with the people beyond the legislature, and the legislature and the governor's office, about how we are going to structure the state's revenue in the coming years to get rid of the deficits, or to plan to get rid of the deficits mm-hmm. that we've incurred over all these years, and how we're going to fund state government. And then we're also going to be having a serious conversation about what we're going to make the expenditures on. I hope that when we get done with this session, that we'll be on the first step, or we will have made significant progress towards a funding source, a stream and type, and where the money comes from that will stabilize our state government, and so that we don't always operate or be forced to operate in a crisis management mode.
Now, I'm sure that a lot of school districts are going to watch this session, because there's still a lot of money sitting out there that they haven't received yet. Is there any particular idea in your mind or any of your colleagues about how that might be resolved and what a timetable may be if the schools are, in fact, going to get the money that's been set aside?
They will get the money. The question is the timing.
Okay.
And in other times that budget gimmick has been used to help balance the budget, where we essentially postpone the payment to schools and switch the payment from the current biennium to the out biennium, to the future biennium, which then saves you money in the current biennium. It's the kind of fuzzy math, I call it. but it's been used many times. And it's taken, at times, it's taken well over a decade to get those paid back. Mm-hmm. And remember, when they're not paid back, you don't have that option anymore. That's an important part. I mean, it was $2.6 or $2.7 billion that essentially wasn't saved. We still owe the money. It hurt the school districts because they had to borrow about $600 million statewide, so that they could continue to pay teachers and bills and for books and all the expenses that schools incur. I'm thinking that it will be part of that honest conversation I talked about. We just can't continue to run the state. We shouldn't, we can't, we should not, and we certainly can't afford to run the state. And every time we go down to the legislature, be faced with these huge deficits because we have a structural imbalance of how our property taxes, our income taxes, our sales taxes are collected. And it's being more and more weighted. The stool, I hate to use the stool, but the legs on the stool are one's so short, some are so long that the stool tips over, and the tip over is the giant mess that we end up in when we have these multiple billion-dollar budget deficits.
Now, before I let you go, you've been in the legislature now how many years?
10.
10. Okay, so you've been, you should know your way around pretty well. But tell me, what do you do now, between now and when the session starts, shortly after the first of the year? Anything in particular you'll be doing in preparation for that?
Well, I'm already lining up meetings to meet with all the freshman members, even if they're not going to be on the Environment Committee, mm-hmm. to find out what some of their ideas are. And how things in their areas, for example, whether they be in some outlying area of the state, if they live in the metro, see what their ideas are that are going to be important in our committee, or to find out if they have ideas about bills that they'll be submitting for consideration. We're going to have a chairs meeting on the 5th of December, and that's for me, that's kind of a housekeeping thing, because there'll be subtle changes in how we do things. But, you know, I've been a chair of this committee, a similar committee, previously, and we'll be looking at the staff that we're going to pick. And it'll be difficult because we are very limited on our availability of funds to hire any staff. Mm-hmm. And right now, in the minority, I have one quarter of one person. Her name is Joan Harrison. She's very capable. And I have one quarter of one person that's doing all the work for a district the size of 8 states. Think about that.
Well, and I'll be thinking about you, and I hope that you had a good Thanksgiving. And if we don't talk to you before Christmas, the same thing. But we do like to talk with you as often as we possibly can. And hopefully we'll do that again before the session starts.
Looking forward to it. Hope everybody has a happy holiday in Cook County. And call me anytime at the Capitol, whether it's an individual, the radio station, or a group. Always want to hear from the folks.
Okay. David Dill represents District 3A, including the Arrowhead. Thank you very much, sir. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.